Okay, let's discuss today. Let's discuss today. Mr. Rappaport, Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. Mr. Rappaport is here. Oh, you have a whole reception over here.
He's not here. He's there.
He's there, virtually. And Ron is here. Shalom Aleichem, Ron.
Okay.
Aleichem Shalom.
Nice to see you on a weekday. Okay. Okay, let's continue. I want to talk today about, yesterday we spent a lot of time discussing Shofar. Is the mitzvah of Shofar Shemia to listen to the Shofar? Is the mitzvah of Shofar to do the tekiah? Is it to blow the Shofar? Today let's discuss another topic, the topic of the tekiahs, the Amida, and the tekiahs, the Yeshiva. Now there's a Gemara, a very well-known Gemara, and the Gemara asks the question, why do we blow twice? Now we have to define the terminology. Let's take a step back. How many times do we actually, how many sets of shofar sounds do we do on Rosh Hashanah? The answer is three. The correct answer is, halacha l'maaseh, today you go to shul on Rosh Hashanah, in any Orthodox shul, they're going to blow shofar three times. It'll be in three different settings. There's going to be the blowing of the shofar before we begin the musaf. Before we say Ashrei, and we start Musaf after Kriya Satoira, we blow 30 koilis. Okay? That's the Baal Tokea gets up with the Makri, and they make all of these announcements. Everyone should have Kavana to be Yotze, the Mitzvah of Tkiya Shofar. Don't say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo when they make the Bracha, and everyone's not allowed to speak from the time that we begin the blowing of the Shofar until the very last.
The Baruch Shemo is a bunch of baloney. You're allowed to say Baruch Shemo.
Okay, I'm just telling you what they say.
During Chazaras Hashatz, I'm talking about. During Chazaras Hashatz, you're allowed to say Baruch Shemo.
Okay, correct. I'm just telling you the run of the mill, what goes on. So you come, they make the announcements, and no one's allowed to speak, and everyone should have Kavanah to be Yotze with the Brachos, and the Mitzvah of Shofar is the Mitzvah D'Oraisa, and everyone should stand and concentrate. Okay, it's very nice. That's how you're supposed to do. This is a very beautiful thing. And the Baal Tokea, he drapes himself in his talis, and the shofar is hidden underneath the bima, underneath something has to be hidden. And then finally, Baruch! And they make the brachas. The two brachas, the bracha of L'shmoya kol shofar, and the bracha of Shehechianu. And then you hear the Makri, Tekiah! And then everyone listens to the sound of the shofar. And that goes on for how long? 5-10 minutes, whatever it is. Okay, though that, and how many koilos do we blow in total? 30. Why is it called 30 koilos? Because three sets of 10. Where do we get the number 10? Well, first we blow, it's 4-3-3. What's 4? Tekiah, Shvarim, Teruah. That's tekiah. That's 4. Again, tekiah in the beginning, tekiah at the end, that's 2. And in the middle, there's the shvarim and the teruah, which go together. We count that in our calculation as 4. And then there's tekiah, shvarim, tekiah. That's 3. Tekiah, teruah, tekiah. So that's a grand total of 10. 4-3-3. 4 plus 3 is 7. 7 plus 3 is 10. 10. We repeat that 3 times. So that's 10, 20, 30. Now the order that I told you is a standard order, but not everyone does it in that way. Some do tekiah, maybe I think I did, it's not standard. They there are different ways to do that sequence. Either you can do it tekiah, shvarim, tekiah, shvarim, teruah, tekiah, shvarim, tekiah, teruah, tekiah, or they do it 3 times. And that's what we do. Tekiah, shvarim, teruah, tekiah, tekiah, shvarim, teruah, tekiah, tekiah, shvarim, teruah, tekiah. We do that sequence 3 times for a total of 12, right? It's called 12 sounds. And then we do 9 and 9. Then we do tekiah, shvarim, tekiah, shvarim, tekiah, tekiah, shvarim, tekiah, and then tekiah, teruah, tekiah, and tekiah, teruah, tekiah. That's like the standard. Some people do the other way I mentioned before, but it doesn't make a difference. The bottom line is, we blow 30 koilos. And then what happens? Ashrei ha'am yodei suruah, Hashem b'yar ponecha yahaleichun, And then we finally recite the few psukim until we come Ashrei Yoshvei Veisacha Od Yahalalu Chasela. Yahalalu and L'David Mizmar, and we put away the Sefer Torah, and then Hinnini, or however your Baal Tefillah does Hinnini. And then it's Chasi Kaddish, and then Shmoneh Esrei. Okay, so we're done. That is the first set of tekiyos. Okay, then there's another set of tekiyos. And what's the next set? Let's for the moment now just focus on Nusach Ashkenaz, that during Chazorah Hashatz, in the middle of Chazorah Hashatz, right before we finish each section of Malchiyos, Zichroinois, and Shoifrois, okay, there are three major sections where in each section we recite 10 psukim, and as we wind down each section, after the Shliach Tzibur concludes the section, Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech HaKol Aretz, Mekadesh Yisrael, V'Yoyim HaZikaron, then we blow one set of sounds. 10 koilos, or 12 koilos, depending on what your minig is. And then when you finish Zichroinois, okay, Baruch Atah Hashem, Zoicher Habris, right? Zoicher Habris, another set of sounds. And then when you finish Shoifrois, Shoimea, Kol Truas Amo, Yisrael Barach, whatever the words are, and after the third set of Shoifrois, another set. That is, now these three sets, which also equal in total 30 sounds, is what is said. Let's just now focus on Nusach Ashkenaz, is the second set, the second collection of sounds that is done during the service. And then there's a third set of collection of sounds that's done after the service is over. After you finish and you finish the Chazoras Hashatz, and now you are in the middle of reciting the Kaddish Sholem. So there are different minhagim how to break it up. Some say some of the koilos immediately, and then they do the remainder before Tiskabel. Some do between Tiskabel, they do some, and they do the remainder after you finish the Kaddish Sholem. Some, there are different ways of doing it. Everyone has their own minig. Even Art Scroll didn't want to get involved in any controversy. It's very unusual for Art Scroll to say, just ask your local rabbi. They are the local rabbi. But this, I guess, was so explosive, so controversial, so even the Art Scroll machzer, the Bible, even they said, oh, you know, we're not telling you what to do. You break it up as you like. You have to now blow 40 more sounds. If you daven Nusach Ashkenaz, you need 40 more sounds. Figure it out. Blow some in the, before you say Chatzi Kaddish Sholem, some in the middle, some at the end. Do whatever you want. You figure it out yourself. Follow your local custom. And it's interesting. You look, go ask different shuls. You see what they do. It's interesting. Everyone really has a different approach to how to break up these last 40 sounds. So what have we just concluded? There are basically three collections, three different parts of the davening where we blow a collection of sounds. Before Musaf begins, in the middle of Chazoras Hashatz, and after Chazoras Hashatz. The Gemara asks a question. The Gemara says, why is it that we blow when we sit and then we blow again when we stand? So the Gemara says, Kidei la'arvev ha-satan. We want to confuse the satan. That's why we blow twice. We blow before, when we sit, what's called the tekiyos di yeshiva, and then we blow again the tekiyos di amida when we are standing. Now the problem, okay, whatever that means, that's not today, that's not for now. Not whatever that means. That's a different topic of discussion. I don't want to focus on that. We want to focus now on the fact that the Gemara, the Talmud, now we're going over here to the Talmud Bavli, we're going over here back, what time in history are we going back? Time of the Amoraim. Not the time of the Tanna, the time of the Amoraim, which is about 500 years after the Churban, right? Something like that. No less, 300 years, 200 years?
Maybe in the early 3rd century.
Okay, so let's say 300 years, 200 years after the Churban.
He died in the early 200s.
So already 200 years after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, there was an acknowledgement in the Gemara that there are two sets of sounds that are blown during the service. Notice, two sets, not three. We, Halacha L'maaseh, now, Emir Tzashem, Tov Shin Pei Beis, Habo Aleinu L'Toyva, we're going to have three sets of sounds. We're going to blow before Musaf, in the middle of Musaf, and after Musaf. The Gemara does not acknowledge anywhere there being three sets of sounds. The Gemara says, it's a question, why do you have to blow when you're sitting, and why do you blow again when you are standing? So the Gemara acknowledges there are two sets of sounds. What do you want to call yeshiva? What do you want to call amida? And the Gemara explains why. That's not our topic for now. But the Gemara only acknowledges two. So Rabbi, so what happened? Why is it that in the time of the Gemara there are two sets, and today Halacha L'maaseh there are three sets? Number two, why is it that there are even two sets? All it says in the Torah, Yom Teruah Yelochem. What's this all about here? What's going on over here? The Torah says, blow a shofar. What's the sound of the shofar? Well, we don't even know what that is. All we know is a Teruah, Yom Teruah. From a Teruah, it turned into a Tekiah, to a Tekiah. We don't know what a Teruah is. It might be a Shvarim, it might be what we call a Teruah, it might be a Shvarim Teruah. So it turns in from 9 into a whole thing. That's not our topic either. That turns into a whole discussion. It turns out, before we blink, we have 100 sounds. Wow, 100 sounds, and we're going to break this up into three parts. Oh, wait a minute. The Gemara, the Pasuk only says to blow basically 30 sounds. After everything is said and done, min haTorah, you only really need to blow 30 sounds. If a person is a yachid, if he's homebound, he can't go to shul and he blows shofar himself, or a person has someone come to the house and blow shofar, they only blow 30 sounds. I've never heard someone come to someone's house and blow 100 koilas. Never heard this. Right. Not even the biggest Rosh Yeshiva. You don't do this. That's all part of davening. Part of davening, you blow more. But when you're at home, at private, you blow 30 sounds. You blow Tekiah, Shvarim, Teruah, Tekiah three times, Tekiah, Shvarim, Tekiah three times, and Tekiah, Teruah, Tekiah three times. So how did the Gemara, even the time of the Gemara, did it go from the time, from the Gemara did it go from even 30 to 60? From the Gemara, it's Mash, you only blow 60. You blow during Chazar Sashatz, and you blow during before. Or it doesn't say, I should say, the Gemara does not say anywhere where you blow. All it says in the Gemara does not tell you anywhere, Musaf, not Musaf, all it tells you is you blow before Yeshiva and Amid. So what's going on over here? So, Min HaTorah, you only have to blow one set. The Gemara acknowledges there are two sets. Today, we have three sets. What happened? Where do we go wrong? No, question number three. Another question. Why do we blow this then in the service? Why are we blowing during Musaf? If it's a mitzvah deraisa, when do you take the lulav in the esrog? Right away. What are you waiting for Musaf? Some may go to the Kiddush club and not come back. Why do we blow during Musaf and not during Shachas? Okay. What? Oh, so let's discuss that. Now, for the first time, I never understood this until this year. I read over here in the Avnei Yisrael, and it explains clearly what this means. Indeed, in the time of Chazal, or in the earliest times, they only blew one set of sounds. And they blew those sounds during the Chazoras Hashatz of Shacharis. Shacharis. And they, in other words, the Nusach of Shacharis was pretty much the Musaf of today. Would we daven Musaf today? They pretty much, I don't know the details, not sure anyone knows the details, it was incorporated into Tefillah Shacharis. What happened? So the Gemara says something which is very obscure, but it's explained very well if you read the Yerushalmi very carefully. The way it's explained in the Avnei Yisrael, it's explained, and it's a very deep, profound concept, which is not our topic either, but maybe we'll do them tomorrow, another time. And that is, they blew originally during Shacharis. The Goyim, the Gentiles, that all worked up. What are the Jews? So this is how they tell it to you in kindergarten. Then I'll tell you the real pshat. In kindergarten, they tell you is that it was a time of shmat. The goyim wanted to kill the Jews, and if they caught the Jews blowing the shofar, it was execution. You would die. So what did the Jews? So what do they do? The goyim came and they send inspectors to the shul on Rosh Hashanah to make sure the Jews are not doing mitzvahs. They're not blowing the shofar. It's their mitzvah. We don't want them to blow shofar. So the inspectors came. The inspectors are paid by the hour. 12 o'clock comes. That's it. That's it. They're not being paid anymore past 12 o'clock. They leave. They go home and they're out of there. Ah! Once the inspectors have left, when the cat's away, the mice will play. So now we'll blow shofar during Musaf. So the way they explain to you in kindergarten is that originally they blew shofar during Shachas. Then the Goyim made a gezerah that a Jew may not fulfill this mitzvah. And the Jews didn't listen. So the Goyim had to send inspectors. So the inspectors came. The Jews had no choice. They couldn't blow shofar during Shachas. They didn't want to miss the Zman Kriya Shema, Zman Tefillah. So they daven Shachas without blowing shofar. The inspectors left at 12 o'clock. So now when we daven Musaf, so now is when we're going to blow the shofar. Now today, Baruch Hashem, Chasdei Hashem, we no longer have inspectors and goyim coming to the shul telling us what to do. We have freedom. Baruch Hashem, Chasdei Hashem, there's freedom of religion, and you can blow shofar and no one can tell you what to do. So why then don't we go back and blow shofar during Shachas? We should go back to the olden days and blow the shofar during Shachas. Minog avoseinu biyodeinu. This is tradition. We don't want to forget what it means to lose freedom. Don't ever forget what it means to lose your freedom. Tyranny is a disease. It's a real disease. There's people have a need to control, to terrorize, to impose their will on others. You talk and see how profound this concept is. Look at what's going on in the entire world. The whole world, there's tyranny in this world. It's a very scary thing. People want to impose their will on other people. We'll say for the right reason, the wrong reason, none of my business. I don't know, right reason, the wrong reason, but there is such a thing where people want to control you. And when people want to control you, even though today we don't suffer from that, no one's controlling us, don't ever forget what it was like. It could happen again. Let's try to keep the shirt clean. let's not forget what happened, and therefore ad hayoyim hazeh we continue to say to blow shofar during Musaf. This is the version, the clean version they tell you in elementary school. That does not appear to be correct, because there's a major flaw with this whole fantasy fairy tale. And the goyim, they're so stupid. They think that when they're going to leave at 12 o'clock, when they walk out of the shul at 12 o'clock and everyone's sitting in shul, when they're going to leave, we're not going to blow shofar. They didn't know that 5 minutes later, okay, rabbis, everyone stand up. Midametzar. And they didn't start saying, Lamatzeach, Livnei Koirach, Mizma. They didn't know that. And we started blowing shofar the second they walked out. Come on, they have cameras, they have listening devices, they have spies. What is this? Oh, the inspectors left. Oh, now that they left, now we're going to do it during Musaf. What's going on over here? So the Yerushalmi says Beferish. Mamre says Beferish to Yerushalmi, what really happened? The reason why the Goyim objected to our blowing shofar was not because religion, because the Jews are, there was Gezeres Hashmad. We don't want you to blow shofar. They didn't care about shofar. They really thought that it was a sound that everyone should go to their battle stations, a call for arms. The sound of the shofar in ancient times was a signal, amber alert, call for arms, battle stations, everyone get ready. So when it's 9 o'clock in the morning and a guy hears a siren in all the Jewish shuls, the goyim thought that the Jews are now organizing a rebellion to overthrow the government. They didn't look at it, this is what says in Yerushalmi, they don't look at the sound of the shofar as a religious observance of mitzvahs. They really thought that the Jews are organizing, they're getting together, forming an alliance, a coup, to rebel and overthrow the government. And the sound, 9 o'clock in the morning, maybe they daven Kivasikin, they daven early Rosh Hashanah. 8 o'clock in the morning, when you hear out of your window, when the mayor, the governor, the president, and the State Department the FBI and the CIA wake up in the morning and they hear at 8 o'clock in the morning the siren blaring in their ears, we're in charge here. Who where is that coming from? Who's blowing the siren over here? The Jews? There's some resistance. There's something going on over here. What's going on over here? They were terrified. They thought the Jews are taking over the country. They got nervous. So they went into the shuls and they sat there the whole morning. And then they watched. They watched the Jews daven. And they watched them daven shacharis. They watched them kriyas haTorah, the haftorah. The rabbi gave a drasha. They all fell asleep. And then they had a kiddush, some herring, some cholent, some cake. And then they all come back into shul. And they blow the shofar and they daven musaf. The goyim realized the reason why the Jews are blowing shofar is the word of the Rishonim. It's their nimu sehen, which means it's their way, it's their custom, it's an ancient religious service. It's not a call for arms. It's not battle stations. It's not World War III. The signal World War III is now beginning to break out. This is just what they do. The Jews are strange people. Everyone knows they're strange people. They talk to fish, and they do this. They do all these funny things, Jews. They put these things on their head, and they wear funny clothing. They wear furry hats. And when it's 120 degrees outside, they're wearing winter coats and these funny hats. Jews are funny people. So therefore, this is just one of their strange things that they do. It is not a call for arms. The goyim, they sat in the shul the whole day. The frightening part for them was that when the sound of the shofar was being blown first thing in the morning, they thought the Jews are going to overtake the government. When they went to shul, they sat there the whole day in shul, and they saw that they didn't let them blow shofar. And then they saw that at the end of davening, they davened musaf, another prayer. You know, how much could you pray already? Another prayer, a long prayer. And then you blow shofar. This is not a call for war. After you have cholent, you have to have kiddush, and you listen to the rabbi's speech, you're going to go to war now? You're not going to war at this point in time. They came to see that it's not a threat. This is not a threat to the world. They're just following their ancient customs. So they let it go. So the question now is, why don't we, once the goyim came to realize that we're not threatening them, we don't have no harm and no intent, let's go back to our old ways. Let's tackle blow shofar first thing in the morning. So this is the idea. I don't want to go into this part. Let's discuss this now, because it's a very important point. Because you know something, the goyim are right. The goyim are right. In other words, why do we blow shofar? There's a very big danger in blowing shofar. Why do we blow? Yes, why? So some will tell you, you know, our tzaddik has 10 reasons why you blow shofar. But everyone is a little selfish. It's the human condition to be selfish. That's nature. You know why I blow shofar? Hashem, help me. Help me. I need your help. Hashem, we're going to war against you. A good war. We're all going to get together and we're going to go to war. Not chas v'shalom, a war of chutzpah and rebellion, but a war to get what we want. We want safety, security. We want health, prosperity. We want nachas. We want a lot of things. There are a lot of things in life that we want. So let us all get together nice and early and blow that shofar. That shofar is a cry. It's the most perfect cry. We want something. That's wrong. There's no doubt about it that when you blow shofar, it's also that, but that's not the ikar. You know why you blow shofar? Because Hashem told you to blow shofar. It's nimu sehem. It's tradition. It says in the Torah to blow shofar. It says in the Torah to be mamlech Hashem. This is what we do. It's not a selfish personal. We have no agenda. The goyim are right. The goyim indirectly taught us that we're blowing shofar for the wrong reason. Let's review. The Goyim, they wake up 8 o'clock in the morning and they hear these sirens going off all over the world. They're terrified. The Jews are organizing, they're unifying, and they're coming to conquer the world. They want something. They want power. They want money. They want control. So the Goyim says, don't do this. They go into shul, they stand guard. Don't you dare. You're not going to take over the world. So we wait, and then we do it at the end of davening, when we're all already burnt out and tired and we want to go home already. And then the Goyim realize, oh, the Jews don't want to take over the world. This is what Jews do. Jews, they like gefilte fish. They like lox. They like to blow a shofar. It's a pastime for them. Nimus sehem. The Goyim are right. If we were to blow shofar 8 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, you know what it would be? It would be for the wrong reasons, selfish reasons. We all get together, Hashem, it's Rosh Hashanah, it's Yom Hadin, Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mason. We're going to war. We want to live. We want money. We want success. We want to build yeshivas. We want to go build Batei Midrashim. We're not going to war in a bad way, but we want things. All about us. You can't, that's not what it's about. So what do? The Goyim taught us. Don't blow shofar for your selfish reasons. Blow shofar because Hashem Omar Toku. Hashem told you, you blow the shofar. Do it for me. To be Malach Hashem in the world. To be Makir Hayoim Harasoilam. It's Hashem's world. The Goyim Taka taught us something. They Taka taught us something. It was a very frightening time when they came into shul, but their thought process is Taka true. And the proof that it's true is we continue this approach Ad Hayoim Hazeh. Okay, this is really what it says in the Yerushalmi. It doesn't say the last Jewish part, but the Yerushalmi is saying the Goyim didn't look at the blowing of the shofar as a religious observance of mitzvah. It wasn't Gezeres HaShmad. Gezeres HaShmad is one thing. This was just a practical fear the Jews are trying to take over the world. And then when they saw the Jews have no intent, they blow shofar because it's Nimu Sehem. Okay, Gesundheit, do whatever you want. They would let us blow shachris if we really wanted to. But they taught us a lesson. And that lesson stays with us. We're not here in Rosh Hashanah to blow the shofar for selfish reasons. We're here to blow the shofar because indeed it is Nimu Sehem. It's our way, our custom. Okay. So that is why shofar is blown during Musaf. During Musaf. Now why? Now there are two parts. Now here's the question. Now, we mentioned before that originally you only have to blow 30 koilos. Somehow the Gemara acknowledges there are 60 koilos. Today there are three sets. Now when the Gemara says there are two sets, it calls one, and we discuss why it's done during Musaf and not done during Shachas. But before we come to Musaf, we still blow 30 koilos before Musaf. Actually before Musaf. Now the Gemara says. The Gemara says, one set is called Amida and one is called Yeshiva. Which collection are they referring to with the word Yeshiva? And which collection are they referring to with the word Amida? Because today, we basically stand for all three sets. When we blow shofar the first 30, all rise. Right? Everyone should stand. The minhag is to stand for the mitzvah. No one sits for the mitzvah. No one sits for tekiyah shofar. Chazaras hashatz, you're supposed to be standing for chazaras hashatz. It's called the amida for a reason. And when Shmona Esrei is over doing kaddish sholem, yiskadal v'yiskadash, you're also supposed to be standing. So as far as we're concerned, we're standing all three sets. So the Gemara says, amida and yeshiva, what is the Gemara referring to? So there are two answers. The simple answer most of Rishonim tell us is that the 30 sounds that we blow before Musaf are called the Tekiyos de Yeshiva, the sitting Tekiyos. The Tekiyos that we blow during Chazaras Hashatz, or in the middle of Shemona Esrei, if you're in Nusach Sfard, are called the Tekiyos De'amida. Now let's explain. Why are the ones during Chazar Sashatz called Amida? Because the Shemona Esrei is called Amida. It's called in the vocab of Chazal, the Amida. When you recite Shemona Esrei, or the Nusach you say on Rosh Hashanah, it's the Amida. So just in order to contrast that set of sounds with something else, so we call the other set of sounds the yeshiva, even though, technically speaking, we're standing when it's being recited. It is just a borrowed term in order to find a contrast. We need to be able to identify a set, a collection of sets, one from the other. So being that, what's the starting point? The starting point is the Shemona Esrei. Who does not know that the Shemona Esrei is called the Amida? So what is the opposite of Amida, or the contrast to Amida? Yeshiva. So the 30 sounds that we blow before Musaf, we call the Yeshiva. Are we physically sitting down when we blow these sounds? Definitely not. Every mitzvah has to be done when you're standing. Maybe you'll say in Tamei Chazal they sat for those sounds. Maybe yeah, maybe no. Did they sit in between? It could be they sat in between each set. They sat for a few moments. Maybe yeah, maybe no. It's irrelevant. The point is, the reason why it's called Yeshiva is just a way to find contrast to the Chazar Sashatz, which is called the Amida. This is called the Yeshiva. So that means, according to this interpretation, what have we invented and after post the Talmud era? The last 60 sounds, that is a new invention. And it's not in the Talmud. Min HaTorah, you only need 30. 30, I guess, would be the 30 before Musaf. Doesn't say anywhere that has to be part of Musaf. You blow 30. The time of the Talmud, they already introduced an additional 30 that are blown during Chazar Sashatz. And those are called Amida. And thus, by contrast, the 30 sounds that are sounded before Shemona Esrei begins are called the Yeshiva. So where does it come then to blow another set of sounds when davening is over? Post-Talmud. In the time of the Goinim, the Rabban Savaroi maybe, time, some say it's even later, it's time of the Rishonim, is when this became a new minog to blow when it's all over. That is one very popular approach. The minority opinion, this is a shocking thing, is that when the Gemara says to blow the Amida, the Amida means when you leave shul. When you oimed from the Beis HaKnesses to go home. Meaning, when do you meet? So what then is the Amida? When Shemona Esrei is over. And now you're in the middle of Kadesh Sholem. When you are reciting Kadesh Sholem, you're now standing up to say the Kadesh Sholem and walk out of shul and go home and eat a meal. That is the Amida. So what then is the yeshiva? The yeshiva is to blow the shofar during Chazoras Hashatz. So in the time of the Talmud, one thing is certain. In the time of the Talmud, they only blew two sets of sounds. It's a modern invention of us to blow three sets of sounds. So when the Talmud says there are two sets of sounds, which two sets of sounds are they referring to? So we first explain it refers to the set of sounds before you daven Musaf. That's called the yeshiva. And the Amida are the 30 sets of sounds that you blow, 30 kolos you blow during Chazar Sashatz. Other opinions say disagree. No, that's not correct. In the time of the Talmud, they blew only during Chazar Sashatz. And when you finished Chazar Sashatz, after davening was over, during Kadesh Sholem, or maybe even after Kadesh Sholem. And the Gemara wants to know, why are you blowing Yishno? That shot fits into the Gemara much better. Why do you blow twice, Yeshiva and Amida, Kedei La'arvev HaSotah? You want to confuse the Sotah, which simply means you're leaving Shul. And even though you're leaving Shul, you're still Chavivus of the Mitzvah of Shofar. The Sotah is deflating when they see the Chavivus. We're leaving Shul! But we're not running away like Har Sinai. We ran from Har Sinai like children. We'll stay plenty of time for another set of sounds. Which means, according to this interpretation, the Amida means that the Tekiyos, the Amida, is when you leave Shul. And the Yeshiva is just a term to the point of contrast in the middle of Chazoras Hashatz. Now, what would be a massive, massive nafkamina between these two perushim? And this nafkamina is so massive, the whole world will shake on this nafkamina. The nafkamina is, do you ever make a bracha, a bracha kitzara? Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah v'tzivanu l'shmoya koil shofar. Think about it, why do you make that bracha? Why do you make that bracha? How many brachas do you think about? How many brachas do you really make on Tkiyas Shofar? Stop someone Avenue N, hold him up, tie him down, and ask him, tell me, I'm not going to release you, it's tyranny, coercion. How many brachas do you make on the blowing of the shofar? What would you say? You make four blessings. You make, beside the Shechiyon, L'shmoya kol shofar, and then you say, after you finish Malchiyos, Miloich al kol aretz, Mekadesh Yishol, well, what's the first bracha? The first bracha is, Melech al kol aretz, Mekadesh Yisrael, V'yoyim hazikaroin, Tekiyo, what? Mekadesh Yishol, V'amo al Miloich al Melech al kol aretz, Mekadesh Yisrael, V'yoyim hazikaroin, Tekiyo, Shvarim Tenua, Tekiyo. What is that? So the bracha you made in Malchiyos is the bracha Rishoina for the blow, the sounds. Okay, the sounds. Now when you come to Zichroinos, Baruch Atah Hashem Zoicher HaBris, Tekiyo. What? What do you mean no?
No bracha.
When is no bracha? In the middle of Chazor Sashatz, the Shliach Tzibur Zaving Shmon Esrei.
You don't have a bracha.
You do have a bracha. What has happened? Oh, you're saying that's only a bracha part of the Shmon Esrei? Who says? Who's the bracha that you make in the Shmon? These brachas don't belong in the Shmon Esrei. Shmon Esrei has only have seven blessings. We have nine blessings. The nine, we're adding brachas into the Shmon Esrei. We're adding brachas into the Shemona Esrei. The brachas that we add into the Shemona Esrei, they're not just part of the Shemona Esrei. This is the bracha, a bracha arichta for the blowing of the shofar.
That's only if you do the amida.
What?
If you do all the amida afterwards.
Then you have six. Then you can have a total of you have seven blessings. If you nusach svard, so then you have three during the silent Shemona Esrei as well. You have three during. Yeah, when you blow 30 koilos for shofaris, you make a bracha for the koilos of shofaris.
But you didn't make the first bracha.
According to the second pshat in the Gemara, the Mahalach in the Gemara, Lama toikin kasheheim oimdim, kasheheim yoishim. Why twice? If you learn the pshat in the Gemara is the time of the Talmud Bavli. That they only blew the twice, the two blowings. The Amida means when you're oimed from the Beis HaKnesses to go home and eat lunch. So what does it then yeshiva mean? Yeshiva means during Chazaras Hashatz. So wait a minute. If the first time you're going to hear the blowing of the shofar is during Chazaras Hashatz, when did you make the bracha, the famous bracha? Baruch Atah. When did you make that bracha? When was that bracha made for l'shmoya kol shofar? He didn't make it. He never made it. In time of the Gemara, that bracha was not recited. It says that there was no bracha kitzara. There was a bracha arichta. You make a long bracha for the tekiyos of shofaris, a long bracha for the tekiyos of zichrinos, and a long bracha for the tekiyos of zichrinos and shofaris. Three long blessings. And then when you finish davening, the satan's out to get you. So you show gira be'ena de sitna. Shoot an arrow into his eyes and show, look how much we love this mitzvah. We're going to blow him all again. That's only a minhag to do that. You don't go make a bracha on that. You already made the brachas. That's the second shot in the Gemara. But if you learn that when the Gemara says it's tekiyas the amida and the tekiyas the yeshiva, the tekiyas the amida is the chazoras hashatz. And the tekiyos, the yeshiva, is the 30 kolos you blow before you begin musaf. You just can't get up before musaf and blow tekiyos. What is this? What are you doing over here? You blow tekiyos? It's Rosh Hashanah. Okay, baruch. Make a bracha. A bracha kitzara l'shmaya kol shofar. Now, what about the brachas that you say during Chazaras Hashatz? Like Rav Meir said, whoever told you those are brachas? Whoever told you those are part of the Shemona Esrei? You already made the bracha l'shmaya kol shofar. Or you want to say alam l'shadin that there's their taka four brachas? Maybe you could taka say that. Let's go back to the first mahalach. The first mahalach holds that the tekiyas the amida and the yeshiva is after davening is over and during Chazaras Hashatz. Who then invented? Who's the inventor? Who gets credit for the fact that today Bizman Azeh we blow 30 kolos before we begin musaf? Who? How did that come about? If you, let's say you'll prove to me, and it really makes a lot of sense. It really fits into the Gemara very well to say that the tekiyas the amida means when you leave the shul, and the tekiyas the yeshiva is Chazar Sashatz, and the ikor brocha on the kol shofar are the three long blessings. It's a whole new meaning. When you can imagine when during Chazaras Hashatz, when the Shliach Tzibur is making that bracha, you have to answer. That's the bracha on the shofar. See, Rav Baruch, according to this, Yitacha can't say Baruch Hu V'ruch Shemo. According to this, if this mahalach is correct, I'm not saying that it is, but if this mahalach is correct, is that when the Gemara says there are tekiyas, the amida, and the yeshivas after davening and during Chazaras Hashatz, the first time you make on the brachas of the Shemona Esrei are the brachas on the shofar, so you don't say Baruch Hu V'ruch Shemo when you make a bracha for a mitzvah, on birchas and mitzvah.
You have a point.
You might make a bracha. So wait a minute, if that's the case, then how did it come about that we blow 30, that we blow 30 koilos before davening, before Musa? This was a gift from the Goinim. You ever go to a chasna? Mechubit haraf ha-goin? After he gets his bracha, go over to him and say, thank you for the tekiyas. The Goinim, who came after the Talmud, they were mesakein, they made takonos. And they made takonos. Why did they make this takona? I don't know, maybe because people didn't want to stay for davening, it was too difficult to daven. Whatever the reason is, they made a takana. People are skipping davening, it's too long, too this, too that. The golus is a gris, a tzara. So we just need a quick fix for the common man. The common man needs a quick fix. I saw this with my own eyes, because I once was asked to participate in a Russian minion. This minion, I don't even know if it still exists. I participated at the tail end, when the Soviet Union collapsed. In the 80s, before my time, there was an influx into this country of thousands and thousands, who knows, tens of thousands of Russians. And they, Rachmana Litzlan, knew literally zero. And many people worked their head off, gave their life, mamish gave their life to try to help them, to bring them back to Yiddishkeit. With mixed results. They are incredible, I shouldn't say mixed results, every neshama is priceless. Every neshama is priced, they brought back, unreal what they've done. And there were minyanim, there was a minyan here in Flatbush, in catering halls, when it first started, I know the person who did this, they had literally, I don't know the numbers, over 1,000 people who participated in a Rosh Hashanah davening. For people who knew mamash, knew nothing, but were thirsty. Yeah, but it dwindled down. I went to one of this minion, it was in the Chaim Berlin classroom, basically. There weren't more than 50 people there. And there used to be thousands, because the people, unfortunately, passed away. This goes back from the early 80s. Whatever, so I was blown out of my mind. This is what they did by this minion. The people, unfortunately, Rahman Muslim, they knew from literally nothing. You can't hold them hostage there a whole day, David, Shachas, Musaf. So what do? They daven the very short version of Shachas. And then they sang, like Mamish, they sang songs like as if it was third grade. They would sing Ashrei, and they sang, it was beautiful. I mean, they were singing with these people, like they're 80s. They were singing with them songs, very, then they lay Kriya Satora, and then they blew shofar. They blew 30 kolos, and then they had a kiddush. They made kiddush. And you know, by the way, it was what kiddush did they recite? They said the kiddush, the bracha from the night, because none of the people in the room heard kiddush yet, because at night they don't know. They didn't say. They said kiddush, and it was over. No musaf. It was a shortened version of shacharis, kriya satoira, tekiyos, good yomtiv. And then the counselors, the people who were servicing these, they were left with barely 10 people, if even, had to drag people off the street, and then they daven musaf for themselves. But everyone else, you can't hold, you can't. So these people, if you're going to go take them, okay, now we're going to daven musaf, a long musaf, and we're going to blow the three sets. We're out of here. We're gone. We're not sitting around here for musaf to go hear your three brachas and to go hear 30 koilos. They're not going to stick around for musaf. So the goyim saw this. They had the vision to see that if you're going to keep the tekiyos during musaf, you're going to lose a lot of people. So they were misaken. There should be another set of koilos before musaf to be yoyse the people who are going to leave. They need a bracha. Okay, we're the goyim. We can do this. They had the power to do this. We're going to make a bracha kitzara. Baruch atah Hashem lekei demelach olam asher kedushan b'mitzvos v'tzivanu lishmoya kol shofar. And this stuck for the ganz klal Yisrael. So it evolved. This whole thing evolved. Everything evolved. How did the tekiyos get into musaf evolve? How did you only need 30 koilos? Why is there another koilos when davening is over? How then did they get another 30 koilos before davening began? People are going to leave. What's the ikar bracha? Is the ikar bracha l'shmoya kol shofar? Because really, they only made it, originally it was the beginning, and then chazar sashatz, and that was the original bracha. Or no, maybe the ikar brachas, there are three brachas you make for shofar. Three brachas, long brachas are made for shofar. And then, because of a problem, we had to add more. Well, we need a bracha, so I make another bracha. What's so terrible? Make another bracha. You're going to say now that the brachas in the middle of Shemona Esrei, bracha levatala? No, they're not. They're in the middle of Shemona Esrei. You need anyway for the Shemona Esrei. So all of this comes together. It's a fascinating reflection of Jewish history. When you come to Shul on Rosh Hashanah and you experience all the brachas and all the different sets, you're living through Mamash Jewish history. You're not having shofar during shacharis because the goyim taught us a good lesson. Don't be selfish. Don't be selfish. They need schosim. They need big schosim, the goyim. They need big schosim. Only we need schosim. They need, they're even more trouble than us. Hayoyim hara asalim kol b'nei, the whole world is subject to din. The whole world is subject to din on Rosh Hashanah. What's their zchus? That we don't say tekiyos at shacharis. Why? Because that would be selfish. Because if we were to blow the tekiyos on shacharis, it would be like it's a war and we have demands and we're calling the shots. Is that what it's all about? The reason why you blow shofar is not for selfish reasons, because you need something, you need this, you need that. The reason why you blow shofar is because it's nimuseihem shel Yisrael. This is what Jews do. Jews are mamlech Hashem on the world. That's what they do. They're not selfish people to go to war and take over the world. That's quite a lesson that they taught us. That's a frightening lesson that they taught us. And that's for them a zuchus. They also need zuchusim. A lot of crazy people out there who are trying to destroy them as well. And we learned the lesson. We do it by musaf. And yet we find ourselves with 100 koilos. What's going on? 100 koilos. What's this all about over here? Three sets. Look in the Gemara. The tekiyah is the amida. The tekiyah is the yeshiva. Whoa, what's the Amida? What's the yeshiva? Two mahalchim. Is it after Shemona Esrei is the Amida? Why would it be called Amida? because now's the time when you get up and you go home. So by contrast, when you're stuck in shul, it's yeshiva. Or is it the pshat? Amida means amida of oimein lifnei hamelech. And what's the yeshiva? The yeshiva is the 30 kailos before musaf. What are the brachas? Is the bracha l'shmoya kol shofar before the 30 kailos? Is the bracha the three long blessings that we recite during chazaras hashatz? These are all the different elements of the parts of the blowing of the shofar. There is one other important part is if you want to blow when the davening is over, why you have to blow 40 kailos? Okay, I'm referring to Nusach Ashkenaz. Nusach Ashkenaz does not blow during the silent Shemona Esrei, so you only have 30. At the end of davening, how many kailos do you blow? 40. Why? So everyone knows the answer, to get to the number 100. 100 is a critical number. Why 100? So there's a legend of Misaira that the mother of Sisera, she cried 100 kailos. She was a wicked woman. She was yearning for the destruction of the Jewish people. Her son was the general. He would wipe out the Jewish people. He did not return home. She cried. It's a little bit difficult. All the commentators are very disturbed. Why should we connect ourselves to the mother of Sisera? So there's a medrash, and it's a popular medrash, and many are very happy to use this medrash to answer this question. It's not really the mother of Sisera. It's Sora Imenu. We just use Sisera to learn about the human condition. My new favorite term, if you noticed. My new favorite term, the human condition. How many tears, how many expressions of tsar does a mother have for a child? It's universal. You have to remember, Rosh Hashanah is a universal holiday. It's universal. It's a universal holiday. There are universal things, not just to Jew, the Tzelem Elokim. A mother, even a non-Jewish mother, has tsar for her child. How many expressions of tsar did the mother of Sisera have for her son? 100. That's an element of nature that automatically teaches us that Sora Imenu, when Chazal tell us she heard about the Akedah, she heard that her child, her Ben Yochid, that was born to her when she was 90 years old, was taken up the mountain to be offered as a sacrifice to Hashem, had emotion. What was the emotion? No one can tell you what the emotion was. It was an experience. But an experience, the experience that she had as a mother relating to her child, thus also has to be equal to 100 sounds. Because it's just a human condition. We don't have any source, unfortunately, anywhere in Tanakh telling us about a Jewish mother crying for her Jewish son 100 sounds. But we have a whole collection of drashas and gematrias and who knows what, telling us the feeling of the expression of a non-Jewish woman had for her non-Jewish son. Allah has come, become a Jewish mother has that for her son. And being that Rosh Hashanah, we put front and center, backwards and forwards, right and left, is the Akedah. Every single thing about Rosh Hashanah, you cannot move an inch without coming in contact with Akedas Yitzchak. The Elokim Nisos Avraham, it's all about the Akedah. Every step of the way, and that includes every dimension, including Yitzchak has a mother also. Doesn't Yitzchak have a mother? How did she relate to this experience that Rosh Hashanah is all about? Well, guess what? Chazal tell us she died from this experience. She gave up her life. Yitzchak survived, Avraham survived, but she didn't survive. Parcha Nishmasa. That's what it says. What does that mean? There's a lot of drush, but it's irrelevant. Drush. The bottom line is, she died. The Akedah, when it was revealed to her there was an Akedah, she had a moment of emotion. And with that emotion, Parcha Nishmasa. What was the emotion? What was the going on in her mind? It's not important. But that's what Chazal say. And if that emotion is of a mother to a child, and that involves 100 expressions of feeling, we connect on Rosh Hashanah to Sarah Imein. She is the hero of the day. So in addition to the three sets of kailas, the Satan, he doesn't need 40 kailas. If you want to say to the Satan, Satan, you know, get out of here. You want to go have tainus on us. Look how much we're mechavev. We've already heard a long drush from the rabbi. We have a heartburn from what they gave us at the Kiddush. The schnapps is not, you know, the quality that we're used to over here on Rosh Hashanah. And the Baal Tzvila and the Baal Shachas both struck out. And the Baal Tekeh wasn't good. And we're tired. And the air conditioning in the shul doesn't work. And not everyone showered properly before Rosh Hashanah. But you know what? We're not in any rush to get out of here. Let's do it again. Encore. Let's do it again. The Satan double. For the Satan, we don't need 40 koilos. For him, it's good enough 10. Why do we have to do so many to reach the number 100? Because you walk out of the shul. Who's your hero? Sorry. V'Hashem pokad eser. V'ayas avatar. V'ayas Hashem, whatever it says, l'sara kasher diber. Hashem remembered Sarah. Hashem did for Sarah what he promised. Sarah Imenu is the hero of Rosh Hashanah. You walk out with that. That's another element of Tekiyah Shofar. The expression that the whole makor comes from a mother having an expression of emotion for a child. The one that had the ultimate is the mother of Klal Yisrael, Sarah Imenu. Okay, with this, we will conclude. Have a wonderful day.